Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Open Minds Radio with your host Alejandro Rojas.
Hello, my friends. It is Alejandro, your host for Open Mind Radio. How's everybody? Good to see you all again. And we've got, I'm kind of lonely in here today because I don't have an in-studio guest. So it's pretty bad, dude. But I'm going to get over it. I do have, though, our little buddy here, and people tried to name him for us. They named him Chico Spock, but I know the guy who tried to name him, and this guy is kind of nuts, and he's actually in our chat here. He's a really muy local, and so we renamed him, though, Panchito, and actually, because he came from the Wendell Stevens collection, we named him Panchito Stevens, so that's really cool. Anyway, we have a great guest today. We have Nancy Talbot. She's back. And don't worry, I'll have her back again because she's incredible. She is my favorite scientific researcher in this field. She really is truly scientifically rigorous when she researches UFOs. Probably the most. I mean, it's something that everybody wants in this field and very few do. And you can't blame people. For the most part, people are doing this on their time off, on the weekends, you know, and doing this kind of research. So, but she is very careful about, you know, gathering the data and the information. And tonight, she's going to talk to us about, excuse me, my goodness, a very controversial case, and that is the case of Robert Vandenbroek. And this is a gentleman in Holland who has actually predicted crop circles being created. That's why she got involved. She, of course, has been part of BLT Research, which has done a lot of the best crop circle research out there, scientific crop circle research. So that's why she's been involved with this whole thing. And he has seen crop circles created, and now she's really revealed some of the other astonishing things that happen around this gentleman, such as photographs where it appears that UFOs are in the pictures. He's taken photographs with these strange light phenomena that happens in these pictures. He's taken photographs where just a lot of, he's very well known actually in his part of the world because of all of this incredible stuff that happens. Because these pictures look extraordinary and they look very strange, Nancy has come under attack from many people saying, hey, has she gone nuts? Why is she backing this craziness? These pictures look ridiculous. They look like hoaxes. This guy's a hoaxer, and Nancy is being fooled by him. But she writes very exhaustive reports, and if you go to her website, bltresearch.com, you will see that she's laid out exactly what's happened, how she's documented this phenomena, why she believes it to be real, and tonight, that's what she's going to talk about. She noticed in particular the Open Minds Forum, which is not part of our company, but a group that we've coupled up with, And because we've got the same name, and plus we've met with them, they're nice guys. So they've allowed us to have a section of their forum, and it's kind of our official forum for now. And so I posted the question in here to people, you know, what kind of questions they have about these pictures and photographs, so that Nancy can answer those questions for people, because she's very open about sharing information. She understands that people are skeptical because what she's presenting here is extraordinary. So she doesn't blame people for asking a lot of questions, and she wants to be able to address those questions. So we will answer the questions that we have in the Open Minds Forum. By the way, if you want to go there, Open Minds Forum, and you can go there and see some of our information, all of our latest stories and stuff like that. Speaking of our latest stories, that's the first thing that we will get into. Some of our cool stories we posted lately, because, you know, I usually do this section where I go over the UFO news. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Open Minds is now pretty much the authority when it comes to UFO news. You're going to find it all on our website, either exclusive information about UFO info, or you're going to find at least headlines and links to where you can get the latest and the greatest. And that's at our website, Open Minds TV. That is openminds.tv. And if you want to watch me and Panchito here in the studio, you can go to the radio page on openminds.tv and watch us. We are so incredibly interesting to watch that you're just going to have a good time. You can chat in there with us too. So we've got our live chat going on there. Ask your questions through the chat. We will get your questions answered. But some of our great news, late in breaking, Spielberg has written a letter. We call this story, Spielberg Knows What He Saw in UFO Documentary. He's written a letter about James Fox's documentary, I Know What I Saw. And you might have seen this yourself on the History Channel where they aired it. And it's a great documentary going over some incredible information, just lots of very credible witnesses talking about the UFO phenomena. I think that, you know, he's doing some great work. And we believe that Spielberg believes the same, but we don't know because they don't want to share the contents of that letter yet. And by they, I mean Spielberg and his people. So that's kind of a mystery. We're kind of, we call this story actually here in the office, only Spielberg knows what he saw in the UFO documentary, because we don't know if he is talking positively or not about it. We're assuming so, and I think we can, because he wouldn't have written the letter if he wasn't excited about it, I think. So that's some exciting stuff. That was actually written, contributed by Angela Joyner, and I've had her on the show. She was the one who broke the Stephenville story, which, of course, was so much news a couple of years ago, got all over the world. She's a great person, and we're happy to have her story on our website. A story written by another great writer by the name of Alejandro Rojas. And actually, what I wrote on was an interview with Dean Hagland. We had him on the show, of course, a few months ago. We had some technical difficulties, unfortunately. I felt bad about that. But what he had to say, I thought was pretty incredible. A lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff with the X-Files. So if you remember, not only some stories around Chris Carter, the FBI, and some real information behind the X-Files, stories that people had shared with him, and why I and many others became more and more Scully crazy over the years. And if you remember, you know, I have a lot of friends who say, you know, at first I didn't think she was that great, but man, at the end, you know, I'm all crazy about Scully. And it's actually because they made her, you know, they made her hipper and more fashionable as time went on. And as they saw, they could market her beauty. And what a beauty she is. We have one of her most beautiful pictures on the story. So go check that out. Some other news. The MOD, we talked about this last week, but this is huge. In fact, as far as I know, Open Minds, us at our website, we were the first to break this story and the first to have Nick Pope, a gentleman who worked for the MOD, who we've also had on the show before, who investigated UFOs for them, and this is the UK Ministry of Defense. Every time I think of or see the Ministry of Defense written out and I see their logo, I think of Harry Potter. But really, we have to give credit to Maureen, who is our marketing, web marketing guru, who was able to find the link to that. And we asked Nick what he thought about it, and he had an interesting response. Essentially, he's saying, you know, it's silly they're closing it down, and that most likely, just because they're closing down this public-facing UFO research website or group, that most likely somebody that's behind the scenes is still going to be collecting those reports and interested in what's going on. But that's made some big news this week. Also, we had Jeff Peckman on last week, just to mention him. I know we've talked a lot about him, but he's in Denver, and he got the ballot initiative on there. And I know there's at least one person in the chat who lives in Denver, and people in Denver are going to be able to vote on whether or not to have an extraterrestrial committee out of the city of Denver that's going to look into ETs and UFOs. I hope it goes through. That would be incredible. But even if it hasn't, if it doesn't, people don't vote on it and make it go through, we'll still have, I'm going to tell you, in the next few months, just like we've seen this week, a ton of media attention on UFOs just because Denver's going to be voting on this. And that's one of the wonderful things about this initiative. And one of the cool things, in fact, we talked about this last week, but LA Times and the New York Daily Post, I think they're called, New York Daily News, posted some polls around if people believe in UFOs and think that there should be an extraterrestrial committee. And overwhelmingly, most people have voted yes. They believe, and we need a committee, because when the UFOs land, you know, we don't want them to send Sarah Palin to meet up with it. She'll probably shoot at him, which would be awful. So we don't want that, you know. Let's send Carter. Jimmy Carter can go say he's a very nice guy. I think he'd be do a good job greeting them. Regardless, we should figure out what the heck we're going to do, you know, because it's going to happen, people. You know it, and I know it. They're flying around, and they're not going to sit and behind the scenes forever. Other news, Jessica Biel, another hottie, is talking about believing in UFOs, and that's always a huge plus because it's not just nerdy, you know, dorky people. You know, I'll put myself in the maybe in the nerdy, dorky type of area. My sisters call me, Maureen called me a dork the other day. But there's also Hollywood hotties are interested in UFOs, and Jessica Biel is in this TV or this cartoon called Planet 51, which is pretty funny. It's, you know, one of an astronaut going to a planet, and he's the alien, and the aliens are freaking out about him being around. And she just talked about how, yeah, she believes, you know, in aliens and ETs and stuff like that. So that is very cool, I think. Finally, and I think this is finally in Norway. This is the big news, people, today, and you've probably seen it. And that is that in Norway, there is this weird light phenomena that happened that people took pictures of and video of. When I first saw the picture, it looked like it wasn't real, but I saw it on spaceweather.com, and they said, you know, this was a real picture, not a fake. So looking more into it, we started to see that there were multiple pictures, that there were videos. There were thousands of people that saw this, and so in the video, you can see that the pictures were accurate, just an incredible swirl with a blue light type of thing in the middle. So it was an absolutely amazing pictures and videos and tons of witnesses to whatever this thing was. And Fox News today is saying that it was a Russian rocket that was spinning out of control somehow, and that's what created this huge, strange phenomena over Norway. I don't understand how that could happen. I guess Maurizio, who you met last week, one of my coworkers, said he saw a story on it where they kind of showed how that might happen. So who knows? Really weird stuff, but and it's big in the news, and people ask me to look into it and talk about it on the radio show here. So that's what I'm saying. The thing is that the pictures are not hoaxes. you know, when you have thousands of witnesses, multiple pictures, multiple videos, all from different people, you know this phenomena really happened. And nobody's doubting that it happened or not, just the origin or what it is. That's what. Look at this, guys. I'm looking in the chat here, and, you know, the listeners named our little buddy here Chico Spock, and now we've changed the name to Panchito. Chico Spock was a weird name. It's funny, but it's very strange, and my coworkers here really wanted to rename him, and now look at these people. People in the forums are crushed. Look at New York Lily, my good buddy. She's like, oh, no, Siobhan. Aw. You know, they're bummed about the renaming. So, oh, well, around here we don't ask the listeners because we mandate. So, tough crud. Oh, no, there's someone here saying Panchito's better. Panchico. Oh, my gosh. Bunch of gang weirdos listening to this show. All right. Let us get on to our guest, Nancy Talbot. She's awesome. She's my buddy. Oh, and I have some music, so I don't have to sing. Let's see. Here, let me get my music going. Dialing. Dialing music. That's music. Alright, there we go. Enough with the music. It's kind of cheesy.
Hello?
Yes, Matt, please speak to Nancy Talbot.
Nancy Talbot, this is she.
Oh, wonderful. This is Alejandro.
Talbot.
Like an O.
Tall with a big butt, and it'll help you.
Tall with a big butt. Okay. That'll help.
It helps most people.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
That's good. I'm doing very good here. Having a lot of fun working at Open Minds now. I know you were amazed when
all
I told you.
All kinds of things are going on, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, stuff doesn't slow down, and it's really nice to be able to have the time to thoroughly look into things and address things that are going on. So it's a lot of fun.
It's kind of a luxury to, I mean, God, if we had money
mm-hmm.
to give us the time and the resources, you know, to really check each one of these things out, it would be so marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
In my dreams.
One day. Well, you got money from Rockefeller.
Oh, we did get one big lump from Mr. Rockefeller, sweetheart that he was.
And then did you spend that on going out to dinner and steak and...
Oh, that was marvelous. I took everybody I knew. And we that money is what paid for the X-ray diffraction study.
Oh.
You know, the clay mineral study, however many years ago that was now.
Mm-hmm.
When he asked me for... he'd found out about the BLT work and was apparently impressed with it and asked me to come down and bring him up to speed, you know, in person thing, which I did. And then he asked if we had anything else, you know, if we had other testing or programs, projects that we would like to carry out, like
many.
And so he asked that I submit some proposals, which I did as quickly as I could get my fingers flying across the keys, and that was the one he chose to fund.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I wish the poor thing, he was quite elderly at that point, and he died not too long after the results had been, I'm so glad he lived to see the results, because they were one of the more conclusive things that he got back from various monies that he gave various people. It was substantial, the results, and I was glad that he got to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But he died before he could consider doing another project, which, you know, I'm grateful to have gotten the one, actually.
Yeah, yep, we're always grateful for what we get. But we talked a lot about the crop circles last time, and we did our crop circle 101 and your history. This time, I wrote a little bit about maybe talking about crop circles 2009, but we can maybe even save that for another show. We'll see if we have time, because the main subject for this evening is, and let's see if I'm saying his name correctly, Robert Vandenbroek.
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 Apparently, when there's an E at the end, mm-hmm. there are two different family names in Holland. The Vandenbroek is spelled either with E or without. Without it, it's Vandenbroek. With the E, it's Vandenbroek.
Mm.
I was informed of that this last year myself.
Oh, so see, I've known you for a long time, and I've been saying your name wrong. You've known Robert for a long time, and you've been saying
I would say it is name wrong.
Yeah, that's funny.
What goes around comes around.
Yep. So to start off with this amazing case, and I guess just to the reason your group was given money by Rockefeller is because of what I talked about at the beginning of the show. You all are very scientifically rigorous and careful, and you do the hard work when it comes to studying whatever phenomena you're looking at, first crop circles.
That's the attempt.
And,
I mean, insofar as resources mm-hmm. and the talent of various scientists is available to us, that's what we want to do.
Yeah. And with the Vandenbroek case, you've done the same thing, and I know I feel the same way. I understand. When you first showed me these pictures, because it was you, I had no doubt that there's careful work done here. And, it, you know, there's certain people where you know that if they're showing it to you, it's got to be amazing. Because I know how you can be pretty skeptical with many other things. So not surprisingly, because what you're presenting here is so incredible, you've had people who are skeptical.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at those photos, for the love of God. I mean, if you don't know me and you don't know Robert and you haven't been keeping up with, you know, these reports that I'm putting up about him, I hope your audience knows about the location of his page. It's at bltresearch.com/Robert, and that will take them to all the information I've put up so far about Robert.
Robert with two B's.
Two B's, R-O-B-B-E-R-T. And it's all everything I've got so far about him is on that one page, so you don't have to go looking through the rest of the site anymore. But people have not been keeping up with that and hearing step by step these amazing things unfold. I can clearly imagine, I mean, I understand the response looking at these photographs and just thinking, no way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid the way it goes is way.
Yeah. Well, let's start from the beginning. How did you first get involved with this case?
Yeah, this is interesting. This is back in the late 1990s, and we had field workers in a variety of countries in Europe, and one of the people that worked with us in Holland, in the Netherlands, called me one day and to tell me a story about a young man that he had been hearing about out in the country who had had a number of very interesting encounters, at least were reported to be, with light balls and things out in the fields, and then shortly after that had a crop circle actually occur physically around him. He had seen these light balls out in the field, and one of them had detached itself from the group, had approached him. He lost consciousness, and when he woke up, he was lying inside of a brand new crop circle. There were many other events, and this field worker in Holland told me about all this. And I didn't, at the time, actually pay very much attention. I heard a lot of strange stories all the time, all over the place, and so I didn't put any particular import into that. But then, maybe within 6 months to a year of my first hearing about Robert, we got another call from this guy, and apparently Robert and his sister, his younger sister, Madeline, had been in his house, in his bedroom, at the back of the house, and it happens to be that these houses, it's in a development that backs up to a farm field, and they had been listening to music one night, and there are two floor-to-ceiling glass doors that go off to a small balcony off of his bedroom. And the windows, the doors are closed, but the blinds are wide open. They've been listening to music and talking, and suddenly this huge ball of light had appeared immediately outside of the windows, right over the balcony, rotating in place. And from later measurements and all, I'm figuring this ball of light was somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 16 feet in diameter, very bright and rotating. Well, it scared the kids half to death, and they went running downstairs to get their parents, and when everybody came back up, the ball of light was gone, but there were burn marks on the eaves overhanging the balcony. There were burn marks on the outsides of the doors, with the paint all stippled the way it is when you apply heat, you know. And on the floor of the balcony, there was this pile of white powder. And the parents, in particular the father, who at that time was manager of the major bank in Holland, a very businesslike, you know, down-to-earth sort of guy,
mm-hmm.
immediately had scooped up a lot of this white powder and wanted to get some sort of analysis done and didn't know, you know, where to go. The information got to our field worker, and he called me, of course, to see if we would do it. And I said, sure, and they sent the sample along with, we got a lot of photos and the details of everything that happened, and did, in fact, carry on a chemical analysis, which indicated that the material was a very pure magnesium carbonate. Now, magnesium carbonate in itself is not abnormal. I mean, it's not unearthly or anything. The purity level of it was quite unusual. And in fact, most magnesium carbonate that's manufactured by people is not so pure.
Where would you find it?
Well, in this chemical composition, it is by people used most often as a fire retardant.
Hmm.
In fire extinguishers. But there are many other uses for magnesium carbonate. And so it in itself wasn't unusual. It was more the purity level of it. And what the heck was it doing on this balcony in southern Holland, you know, after a light ball has been revolving?
Mm-hmm.
So we sent the report and everything back to the Netherlands. And then I was doing a lecture in Amsterdam the following year, I think it was. And Robert's family and Robert came to the conference, the lecture, unknown to me at the time, but they wanted to meet me, and I think just to say thank you. And I met them after the lecture. And I right away had a recognition of some kind of Robert. I knew that there was something real unusual about him.
Hmm.
And you know, the lecture was entirely about the scientific work. I hadn't touched on anything else at that time. But I had a couple of days in between that lecture and whatever my next stop was. And so Mr. and Mrs. Vandenbroek asked if I would come and stay with the family for a couple of days because they wanted to tell me more about these events because there were lots of things that were going on with Robert. And I thought, well, what the heck? Why not? So I went. And I hadn't, the first night in the house, I think I still had jet lag. I'm almost sure that first night I had just gone to sleep immediately. But the second night, I had this funny feeling not to go to bed. I'm a night person anyhow, and I sort of chalked it up to that. But I just had a very strong feeling, not to go to bed yet. And the parents, being perfect hosts, they wouldn't go to bed either. So Robert and his sisters, they were all upstairs asleep, but the parents and I stayed up in the living room downstairs, and it looks out on the back also and has the same kind of floor-to-ceiling glass doors that open out onto this small patio. And we were just talking, and suddenly the father jumped up and said, there it is. And I had my back to the window, so I hadn't seen it. But he'd seen a flash of light out there in this little garden. And apparently, they had, for some time, been occasionally seeing flashes of light, something like a flash bulb, you know, going off from time to time out in this garden, when they were certain it wasn't a flash bulb, in fact. So he immediately turned down all the lights downstairs, and I turned my chair around. The three of us sat there looking to see if anything else would happen. And what happened next is still one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. This sort of electromagnetic tingling. I mean, it's kind of like sticking your finger in a light socket, just not quite that intense. But this tingling started at about my waist level, all around my body, and it slowly started moving up my body, fairly slowly, but getting more intense as it went. And it got up to my neck area. And by that time, it was pretty intense, and I was getting scared. I didn't know, had no idea what it was, but I didn't like it. So I remember thinking, the hell with science, I'm going to get out of here. And as I started to get out of the chair, suddenly the tingling thing stopped completely. And this light show then took place outside those glass doors. I've never seen anything like it since.
Mm-hmm.
There were huge, big, very translucent balls of light just hanging there. There were smaller, brighter, more opaque light balls. There were big blobs of light coming down from up in the sky, apparently, hitting the brick patio and bouncing along until they would dissipate. There were flashes of light.
Seeming to actually bounce off the walls if it physically...
It would bounce right along the patio floor. Boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
You didn't know where to look first. It was happening the entire, say, 14 by 14 foot or 12 by 12 foot area was filled with this stuff, whatever it was. I mean, it's like trying to watch a three-ring circus. You didn't know where to look. And it went on for, I think, about 15 seconds or so, and then, boom, it stopped. Nobody said a word. I later found out that the father was pretty traumatized by all of this.
Wow.
But another minute or two elapsed with nobody saying anything, and then the tingling started again, slowly rising up. And again, it got to around my neck area. And again, I mean, I was getting pretty intense, and I got scared. And again, I had this feeling of, okay, I'm time to split. And right at that instant, the tingling stopped, and this light thing happened again. Now, this repeated itself. The entire incident we took, as far as I could tell, about 11 minutes, and it occurred at least 5 times. It might have been as many as 7. With, you know, the tingling taking 10 or 15 seconds, the light show taking 10 or 15 seconds, then a couple of minutes in between each episode. Now, during the entire time, nobody said a word, but towards the end, I was getting used to it. I wasn't quite as afraid as I had been. And so I stood up, and I was standing right inside the glass looking up. I mean, I was as close to it. My face was literally touching it. Because I wanted to see if there was anything up there. I was too afraid to go out. But I thought I could see pretty good from inside the windows. And there was nothing. There was nothing up there other than sky that I could see. And when the last incident occurred, whether it was number 5 or number 6 or 7, I don't know how I knew it, but I was aware that that was it. And I turned around, and I was the first person to speak. And I said, that's it, it's over. As if, you know, I'm God talking here. I have no idea why I said it or how I knew it, but it was over. And I was then intensely interested in whether or not the parents had seen and felt the same thing that I had. And so I interviewed them separately, and it turned out, as far as I could tell, that they both experienced both the physical sensation, the electromagnetic stuff, and visually observed pretty much exactly what I saw.
Wow, incredible. So how many witnesses were there? Three then?
Three.
Mm-hmm.
One, who was, by the time it was over, was not a happy camper. He was not into this kind of thing at all. His wife, a little bit more relaxed about it, and I was completely intrigued. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no way to explain it. Still don't have any way to explain it.
And was this the time then you found something in the morning?
No, this
oh, okay.
was not. There was no circle, to my knowledge, after that found.
Okay.
It was an event somewhat like this.
Wow.
That had happened when Robert was out in the field. This area where he lives is a farming area, and he has to get out of this little village where he lives to get to the farm fields. And since he has had these unusual tendencies and abilities really since he was born, I think, but in evidence clearly to the parents by about the age of four, he's always had a predilection to being out in the environment and in the fields around his home by himself for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
He's always liked to do that. And there are certain areas that he frequents on his bicycle. He's got a motorbike now, but back then it was just a regular bicycle. But not too far from the house, but it was a place he liked to go a lot. And it was in that place where he saw at dusk when it was still quite light, one time he saw this ring of lights, rather like what you see in the new UFO photos report at the beginning of part two. There's a ring of lights up in the sky, and that was pretty similar to what he saw back then. And he just got off the bike and was watching, and one of the light bulbs left the ring, the circle, and came toward him and started to apparently go around his head. He passed out. When he woke up, he was lying in the middle of a brand new circle.
Wow.
That was how he first found out about crop circles. He'd never heard about them up to that time.
What a way to find out.
Yeah.
So,
an intro.
And from the place where he had the sighting of the balls of light in the circle, was that the same place where this crop circle, where he woke up in the morning, or was there any distance that he traversed then?
Wait a minute, I'm not quite sure. The incident I just described at length was me with his parents in the house, and we're talking about this light show that went on in the back garden. That's totally separate
right.
from a number of incidents which have happened to Robert. Some have happened in the house or around the house, but the majority of them, or many of them at least, have occurred out in these fields.
Yeah, so he was out in a field when he saw this ring of lights.
Correct.
And the one flew around him, and then he woke up in a crop circle.
Correct.
Was that crop circle in the same place where he had that sighting out before he had...
It happens that that particular field, which mm-hmm. he calls his special field,
mm.
has now had, there have been many, many events, many times when crop circles have formed there. There was a time later on, I remember, when that field was planted in maize, in corn,
mm-hmm.
what the Brits call maize. And he, again, was out on his bike riding, like he does, along the dikes. And that time, again, in daytime, this is late afternoon, he watched as a craft this time, a hard-bodied, solid-looking craft, which was not typical. It was unusual that he would describe what he saw as a UFO. Much more frequently would be a light bulb. But in this case, it was what he would call a UFO with a ring of lights all around the edges, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he saw this thing descending down into the cornfield, got off the bike, started walking down in, you know, along the edge of the cornfield. And in that case, the next thing he knew, he got within about 30 meters, he thought, of where this thing was going down. And the next thing he knew, he was lying inside of the cornfield, some distance in, where a brand new circle had just appeared, with the UFO then being gone.
Wow.
I mean, he had many, many encounters with crop circles. and some encounters with what people would call UFOs, or what he would actually even call a UFO, but he has absolutely no sense at all of being abducted, although he's been physically picked up any number of times now. He doesn't, it's not the typical abduction thing at all. He doesn't perceive it that way. There have been absolutely no marks on his body, none of that stuff, you know. And his perception of all of this is that it is a, some sort of cosmic consciousness, a cosmic energy or energetic consciousness. He doesn't exactly have words for it.
Mm-hmm.
That is, now he's become in Holland well known as a medium, because a number of other abilities have been developing in him, and he does these things they call readings.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, you do not want to go to Robert if you have a secret that you don't want known, because he knows it.
Well,
and it's not that he's going to run necessarily and tell the newspapers, but don't try to hide stuff from him, because it doesn't work. I mean, all he has to do is focus, and he knows. But he also has been doing a lot of helping people, healing people with various physical ailments. And apparently it works, because there are lots of people that go to him.
Now, I, from knowing you and from knowing your stance and how you look at things, because you are very careful and you look for evidence, what did you think when you heard about this stuff? When you heard about his stories with seeing UFOs and healing, and at first what did you think about it?
I didn't take it seriously at first. It wasn't until, mm-hmm. The white powder, it was what it was,
mm-hmm.
and I was relatively certain that the white powder had come from the balcony floor, like they said.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see much reason for them to lie about that. It really wasn't until I was at the house and had that first experience that I suddenly realized that something was going on there,
mm-hmm.
that was not normal. And since then, I've gone back almost every year, sometimes twice a year, and I spent a couple of weeks, in the house with the family, and have subsequently had so many experiences and witnessed so many things myself that I'd have to be deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid, It's something going on there, and it is not the number of events, the number of incidents would be a full-time job for 10 or 15 or 20 people to produce.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a kid, in a very middle-class family, not at all interested in any of this stuff for years and years and years and years. In fact, they thought there was something wrong with him, and hospitalized him at one point, certain that there had to be a mental problem. But the psychologists and psychiatrists said that there was absolutely no pathology of any sort, and that Robert was very intelligent and as normal as you could be,
mm-hmm.
except that he's got all these strange things going on. They had no explanation for all that stuff at all. And as he matures, the incidents increase, the complexity of them increases. He is the only person, as far as we know, anywhere in the world, who knows when new circles are forming in his area of Holland. He will get a strange kind of feeling, and he knows it not only when it's happening, as it's happening, he knows where, and he knows what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. When was the first time you witnessed this, where he predicted all of those things and they happened?
First time, I think that happened must have been, it's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Early 2000, 2001, something like that, the first time I saw that myself.
Do you remember kind of what he had told you and then what you discovered when you discovered it happened?
Let me think. If I remember...
Or if not that exact one,
I'm not positive. I think it was in that field where these great big power lines go across it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told me it was going to be a simple big circle with three attendant outer circles, and we went, and that's exactly what was there.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days, and up until fairly recently, most of the circles that have occurred around Robert have been, compared to the British ones, relatively simple. This is changing now. They've become considerably more complex lately, and they were occasionally more complex back then. But generally, they would be a big, large circle with two outliers or four outliers. A couple times, there were basic crosses, or there were the Celtic cross-type design. There were a number of these things that the Brits dubbed thought bubbles, and like in a cartoon where you see the bubbles going up and somebody's talking. But this, as of this year, they got considerably more complex this year and larger, but still nowhere near as ornate or as large as a lot of the ones in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm. Now, out where he is, are they an all-year type of thing, or are they more focused around the summer like in Britain?
They do happen around Robert at any time.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely happen in the summer, but throughout the winters sometimes, and then it's usually in snow that they find them.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, there's snow on the ground. But they happen sometimes also very, very early in the spring when the crop is, and particularly the grasses, are only a couple inches tall, and you can hardly tell they're there. You know, they grow back out right away. But it seems that it's not confined to the summer around Robert. And I suspect the phenomenon perhaps elsewhere may occur at other times of the year too, but it's not seen, it's not noticed, mm-hmm. You know?
Now, do his circles have the same attributes, the same anomalies that you find in some of the UK with the expanded and blown nodes? And
Yeah, and that's very important. I mean, it's not just in the UK that we documented these basic plant changes. The elongated apical node, the top node, the expulsion cavities, the growth abnormalities, the magnetic material in the soils, etc. These basic changes have been found in crop circles in some 17 different countries. And they are the standard by which, you know, we look at the circles for authenticity. And in Robert's case, the circles there show the same basic changes usually, not in every single case, and that just as they don't in England or here in the States or anywhere else. And people have to remember that this elongated apical node, the top node, is the best studied and most reliable indicator. But the degree of lengthening varies enormously depending on the type of crop involved, the age of the crop at the time it happened, and the intensity level of the microwave component of the energy system. All of those factors alter how much elongated the top node may be. And in some cases, the only way you could determine for real, for certain, that change was present would be to do what we used to do all the time, which was to sample hundreds of samples from inside, hundreds of controls from outside, do all the measurements, and then run a statistical comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, in other words, what I'm trying to say is you can't tell with your eyes. There is some slight variability in a growth habit of most plants, even hybridized, you know, wheat and oats and barley and stuff. They don't always grow at exactly the same rate. So unless that node elongation is extreme, somewhere in the 75 to 80% range or greater, you may not be able to tell it visually. You can't tell just by looking. You might then have to do a really extensive sampling and lots of measurement to be certain that there is a statistically significant increase. But in some cases, it's so obvious you can see it easily with your eyes.
Right.
And it depends. It varies, you know, from what time of the year it is, what kind of plants are involved, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And in Robert's case, we have seen many times the elongated nodes, many times the expulsion cavities, the growth abnormalities, the magnetic stuff. As far as we can tell, the whatever is going on around him is, at least insofar as the crop circles go, is pretty much the same thing that's going on everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Now, with Robert, of course, getting to what a lot of people are talking about with this case, just like in all other cases, you're looking for some physical evidence, and the abundance of physical evidence you have here in this case are the photographs. And really, the biggest thing that people are talking about when you talk about these photographs, and I know you explained this, and if I want to remind people, you can go to bltresearch.com. It's right there on her updates, or bltresearch.com/Robert with two B's, and see the pictures and read, which is always important to read the print that people take the time to put on their websites like you have, because looking at the pictures alone, you're not going to get enough information to determine much.
You've got to read the details, which I have very carefully outlined, because without knowing the background of each situation, you really cannot evaluate the photos.
Mm-hmm. But you found...
in this case, there's so many people involved.
Right.
I started that particular thing off with, that incident where another one of these ball of light things where he was picked up and taken to Standard Butte, which is a place where a lot of the circle activity happened this last summer, and where a lot of those UFO photos were taken. And whether or not that initial incident with him has anything to do with it, I don't know. But I thought I should put it all together, string it all together in a time sequence so people could decide for themselves whether they thought that initial incident was related to some of this stuff that's going on now. I really don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess share with us, what sort of experiments did you do around photographs? So the big thing is that people are saying, well, I was able to replicate this by taking a piece of paper and putting in front of my photo and taking a picture and it looks similar.
Well, these individuals are telling you that clearly didn't read what I wrote.
Unfortunately, I believe that.
Because what I wrote was that there were many, many witnesses standing right with Robert, in some cases, handing him their own cameras. In some cases, he was using somebody else's. But we were all standing there, as I have many, many, many times, watching him. Now, I'm getting up there in years, and maybe they can accuse me of having lousy eyesight, but the rest of these people were all in their 30s and 40s, and I think their eyes worked pretty well, and nobody saw any pieces of paper or any other thing. Robert does, all he does is take the camera, whichever one is handed to him, and it has to be pretty much set in auto because he doesn't know a lot about technical stuff. And he waits until he feels, till he perceives this energy. And he just aims the camera in whatever direction that happens to be and starts to push the shutter. And often he uses just one hand. He holds it out in front of his face. It's not right up to his eyes. So it's way out in front of his face usually. And he click, click, click. Sometimes he'll take just one or two, but more often he takes quite a few. And then he will look back through the pictures to see if anything's happened. I mean, he can feel this presence, but he doesn't know a lot of the times what it's going to be and if there is going to be an image, what the image will be. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a clue a lot of the time. And when Dr. Wall came... I've been keeping Dr. Roll informed of Robert for years, and Roll, who's interested in parapsychology, that's his field, was quite interested in Robert and wanted to meet him. And so it just happened this last year in 2008, he was coming to Holland anyhow for a conference, and so we got him there a couple days early, and he was able to spend a couple of days with Robert and me out in the fields. And he bought a brand new camera himself, which he kept entirely in his possession until we would go into the fields, and Robert would then ask if he could have the camera. And Dr. Roll and I stood right with him, right next to him. and watched as he took the pictures. And much to our amazement, we were both, Robert and I, were surprised because the UFO theme has not been a major theme with Robert at all. Mm-hmm. It's only been in the last couple of years that he's been getting more and more a sense about UFOs. And I had never seen he'd never taken a photograph of a UFO with my camera. And here comes Dr. Roll, and bingo, right off the bat, there's four or five shots of what I think you would call probably a UFO. None of us knew that was going to happen. We were very surprised. But there are witnesses now. I mean, I've been with him so many times. I invited Andreas, a colleague from Germany, a couple of years ago to come. And Andreas's camera, on his camera, all sorts of amazing things, some of which I haven't even put out yet, occurred. And this was with Andreas standing right there watching him. This summer, we were lucky enough that I was there during the crop circle season, and so the circles were actually in the fields. Often I'm there later in the season. And because the circles were there, there were all sorts of people there, some of whom we knew and some of whom we didn't. And I made an effort to encourage people who would come up on the road, if they had a camera, to go into the field. I pointed out where Robert was, and to hand in the camera and then stand with him while he took pictures, because I knew that if this occurred on many different cameras with many different people watching, it would be a little bit easier for people who don't know Robert and who don't know me to accept that this is in fact exactly what is happening. Whether we understand it or not, it is what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a good question that somebody asked. When he gets that feeling, have you taken pictures or other people taken pictures in the area when he gets the feeling to see if you get the pictures or get the strangeness?
Sometimes, yes, and I haven't done as good a job on that recently as I should have.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, I mean, in some of my earlier reports, if you're on the page for Robert, you know, the BLTresearch.com/Robert, R-O-B-B-E-R-T. You will see a bunch of reports down at the bottom. And thinking when, it'll come to me which report it's in. There is one report, it may be one with just a photo of his face is the thing you click on and it says updates. And in that, I think I show clearly there a series of events out in his special field again one night. And I used to only use a film camera. Somebody donated a digital to us a couple years ago, so I've been using that a lot. But I usually take them both. And in this case, Robert uses the digital now because he likes to see whether he's gotten anything. And, of course, on a digital, you can see right away.
Mm-hmm.
So he was using the digital. I had a film camera. And he did start to feel the energy. He doesn't always tell me anymore. He used to. Now he'll just go ahead and start taking the pictures. But this time he was telling me that he could feel it. And he started taking pictures, and I was photographing him. And what happened was that the film photos went all fuzzy. They were not the normal, clear. I mean, you know, when the energy's not there, and I took a picture of him, which I tried to do afterwards, picture was clear as a bell.
Mm-hmm.
But when that energy is present, the film photos went all strange. Now, in recent years, this is, how to say this tactfully, his father is very protective of Robert,
mm-hmm.
and very concerned because these attacks that come on Robert, you know, accusing him of being a faker and a liar and all this stuff, and the father really doesn't like this, which I can understand. I don't like it much myself, but he's overprotective, I think, and he doesn't like for a lot of these photos to get out to the public because he sees them as just fueling this fire of anger against Robert. Robert, on the other hand, feels differently, and he's now nearly 30. His feeling is that this must get out. It is information for people, and it is important that people know about it. And so because of this little conundrum in the house, We now use my camera almost exclusively when I'm there. Robert doesn't take his own camera into the field here. He'll take, we go and I have only mine. And so I hand him my digital, and sometimes recently I haven't been so good about also constantly taking the film shots. This is partly due to the expense involved
mm-hmm.
in processing all of that film, which I used to do. I mean, it cost me $700 just to get this last report up for people.
Yeah.
It's, I don't have the kind of money that I need to do everything people suggest, and these are intelligent suggestions that, you know, they think you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. Well, I know there are many more things I probably can do, but I'm limited by financial considerations as much as anything, and also by certain constraints in the family. So I know that on some occasions, I have never, when I'm taking photographs, gotten exactly the same anomalies, except for a series of incidents when a dark spiral, and I think this would be in those reports in 2006, and it says dark spiral forming a crop circle. That night, Robert and I were out at the special field again, the night that this circle actually occurred in front of us, and both of us, although we were using the same camera, were getting these big pink and purple and orange light bulbs. He got them and I got them. Now, I've never gotten a UFO myself when I was shooting, but in the light phenomena report, which is the one just the second one down from this UFO photos report, you'll see in the light ring section where Robert took loads and loads and loads of these light rings with my camera and two of Andreas's, as well as his own, I did get, all by myself for some reason, a complete light ring myself, the only one I ever got.
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally, I am also getting some of these strange things, but much fewer than Robert. I don't know whether some of that energy is being transferred to me now, too, or whether it's just being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. You know, in the forum here, people unfortunately don't read the forum before they reply often, because I did let them know that, you know, people are present. They see him taking the pictures, and he's not holding anything in front of the camera when he takes them. Often you'll hand him the camera and then take it back. And so you know that you've witnessed the taking of the pictures.
Correct.
And so a lot of these questions that people have are really answered by that fundamental question. For instance, one of the other questions is, why is everything in focus but the objects that he's taking pictures of often?
Well, how the hell do I know?
Exactly. What the hell is it?
I mean, the people, if their problem is, and I can understand this. I mean, mm-hmm. it amazes me. This last year, the stuff I saw, if I had not been standing right there, which I was watching him almost all the time, if all these other people hadn't been there too, I would never be able to believe it either. So I understand people having trouble with it. And they don't know me. If they don't know me, and even maybe if they do know me, they're not sure I tell the truth. Well, I do. I've got absolutely zero, nothing to gain. I don't sell anything. It doesn't make any difference to me. Ultimately, whether people believe what I'm telling them or not, I know what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
All these other people know what they're seeing. I'm just trying to share it. And people who are interested and curious can learn from this, perhaps. And if they don't want to, fine. But if they don't choose to believe the statements I make personally, you know, that I'm standing there, that I'm watching, that I see it immediately,
mm-hmm.
that I see what he's doing, if they don't want to believe that, then they're wasting their time reading the rest.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to argue with them about whether I'm telling the truth. You either think I am or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And you may think that I'm a lousy observer. Well, that's probably a perfectly reasonable thing. but then consider the fact that Dr. William Rowe was right there.
Yeah.
Consider the fact that there were all these other people. And there are a number of other things that have gone on, observed by entirely competent observers, that I can't tell you about yet because I'm not allowed to. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I can do about that. So you have to take what I have been able to give you and see if you can absorb it or not. And
right.
if you can't, that's okay with me.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, some of these people don't know who you are. Luckily, I know you personally, and I've been following your work for many, many, many years. So I know what you're all about. But and I know it was shocking, and I think you did have some people who, you know, they know your work. They see how it's so scientifically based. And I heard reactions from when people first saw you put information out about this case where they're like, wow, I can't believe Nancy would put something out like that.
Well, some people are now calling me Robert's assistant. And I was talking to Robert the other day, and I told him, and he laughing. He thought that was funny. I don't think I didn't hit me as quite so amusing, but
right.
he thought that was pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's how in the world do you get across to people? I feel I'm so sad in a way that I can't do a better job of this, that I can't somehow rather instantly share it with everybody who is interested.
Right.
I don't know how to do it any better than I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And maybe something will happen that will make it easier for more people to grasp. I don't know, but I'm not the most technically sophisticated human you're ever going to know either, and I don't know how to do much more than I am doing at the moment, particularly given the limitation in funding.
Right.
There is other work that I think will be surfacing eventually in a very academic fashion, and when that does, that may help some people. I have another report coming out. Boy, if they think this last one was crazy, they are really going to think the next one is, because it is all about these people, these photographs of people who have died.
Right.
And I know this is real. I mean, one of the people is my brother.
Well, that's exactly what I was just going to, because someone in the forum did ask about that. So
I'm working on it.
And I was looking at that question just now, so somehow you're also developing some kind of psychic skill from Robert Dixon. But yeah.
I wouldn't be totally amazed if that were true. I mean, it's so, I'm working very carefully on this report, because I think in this one we're going to be able to show very clearly how some of the arguments put forward already attacking Robert's, some of his photos, I think we will be able to undo some of those arguments. Now, can we answer all of them? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky enough in this case, in this new report, there's an analyst, a very sophisticated photo analyst, who's done some very good work that I think will help people clearly see that the arguments put forward so far are not adequate.
Maybe you could also share the experience with what happened and your brother.
Well, I have a brother, one of my brothers, his name was Bill, lived out in the middle of the South Pacific for years and years and years. He was kind of an adventurous sort, and I hadn't known him very well, really, for years. But growing up, of course, we were close, and, he was my brother. We're very fond of each other. But I hadn't seen him in a number of years, and he became suddenly and quickly very ill and came back to the States to go to Johns Hopkins down there in Maryland, where we were raised, to see if they could help, and they couldn't. And he did die very quickly. Robert had never, I don't even know if I had ever even mentioned Bill's first name to Robert. I don't know if it had ever come up. He certainly didn't know my brother's last name, because Talbot is my ex-husband's name. And I'm sure I had never mentioned my maiden name. It just never had come up. Furthermore, it happens that no images of my brother Bill existed on the internet anywhere, because one of the criticisms that everybody comes up with is that Robert's getting all this stuff off the computer,
mm-hmm.
and then doing all kinds of things, whiz-bang things with Photoshop and I don't know what.
Yeah. And
then somehow or other putting it on his cameras and fooling people. And I keep telling people he didn't even have a computer until July 4th, 2006, when his father bought it for him. It wasn't set up until the fall. Robert still doesn't know how to use it to do very much. But a lot of this early stuff that's been so criticized all came out in 2004, long before Robert had a computer or had any idea. He didn't even know what Googling was. He'd never heard of it. But they don't want to believe you. And it's those people, the ones who do not want to believe the facts, there's absolutely nothing else you can say to them. You know, if you don't believe me, go away, because there's no point in talking, you know. They have to go ahead and think whatever they want to think. But in this case, I know that there was no image of my brother, that Robert had never seen him, didn't know him, didn't know anything about him. But he had told me, I had sent one photograph of my brother and me taken some years ago when we knew that my then Bill was ill, because I was hoping that maybe Robert could help him. And he had tried and told me no, that in this case he couldn't, and had told me some other facts, which will be in this report when it comes out. That's the only thing he'd ever seen of my brother. And he told me that he thought that when I came that year to Holland, which was 2 months later, Bill died on June 18th, and I was going to Holland in August. I had already got a ticket, actually. And he told me he thought that my brother was going to appear on the camera, as many, many, many other people who have died have appeared, but now on my camera, as well as on Robert's and many other people's now. And I told him I didn't want that to happen. I wasn't even vaguely used to the idea that Bill had died. I just wasn't up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that. And he dropped it, and when I got there, he told me almost immediately that he felt that my brother was going to appear on the camera, and I think that actually he knew that he was going to, and he was trying to warn me, because he knew I wasn't quite ready for it. And the very first day, after, you know, I'd gotten some sleep, we went into the fields, and we went into this Woodenhead field, where that year there had been an amazing number of events covered in a report, again, on the Roberts page, called simply Woodenhead, 2007. And there were still a few of the circles left in that field, and he wanted me to see them. And we went late one afternoon, still bright, you know, light, and we had no sooner stepped into that field. And he told me that my brother was present and asked if he could use my camera. Now, I'd just gotten in from the States. The camera was in my case with me the entire time. He hadn't been anywhere near it. I took it out of the case, handed it to him, and stood right with him as he then started to take photos. And over the next 20 minutes or so, he took 60 pictures of my brother's face. And, I mean, there's no question that it's Bill. It looks, the posture of the face is exactly the same or very close to the posture that it was in the photograph that I sent his father. I couldn't send it to him because he can't do that. He doesn't know how to do that. But I sent it to his father, so he had seen a printed copy from the father's computer at work. And the stance of my brother, the way he was holding his head, was the same. But the face was years younger than it had been in the photo that, you know, the only one that Robert had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no way, if Robert had somehow, I don't know, I mean, whatever you would do to an image to have it in a format that you would then put on a camera, he'd have to have had access to my camera.
Right.
And he didn't. I mean, he simply flat didn't.
Well,
he was in a locked case with me in my bedroom until we went out to that field, and I took it out, handed it to him, and I was standing right with him while he did it. Yeah. You know, it was daylight. There was nothing held in front of that camera. I saw the images. He took quite a few all at once, and then we stopped and looked through them. And he kept feeling the energy, so he kept shooting the pictures. But he didn't have the camera to do anything to it.
Well, I think that's where some people have the problem, is that, you know, that's one great thing about what you do. And I think, you know, everybody really owes a lot to BLT Research, because you're not going out there and writing books. You're actually doing in-depth analysis and research and putting that for free on the website for everybody to see. You're also not like a lot of researchers where you're just taking information in and sharing it. You're going out and doing the research. I think people probably think that this Robert from Holland has sent you all this information. You look at it and think it's real. That's not the case. You've been out there.
Equipment. I'm right there watching.
Mm-hmm. You're standing there with others watching him take those pictures. I think that's the hard concept people don't get, that you actually spent money.
I have spent thousands of dollars documenting this case. I do not sell anything. I never have. I will try. I'm trying to write a book in English for Robert, for the people, so that they are made aware of many, many, many things I haven't been able to afford to put on the website. And if I do get it done and people do buy it, that money, I am thinking, I have been debating what to do, because I don't want a cent. I never have taken a cent from any of our work for myself personally, and I never will. But I am running out of money and the ability to go to Holland. I mean, you don't get over there for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Or to all these other places I have to go, or even to get around the states here to do work on the circles here takes money. And if, I don't know, I may set it up so that part of it is given to Robert as in a trust fund for down the road, because he doesn't have any work skills, any normal work skills, and his father is very concerned about how he will survive when the father is gone,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think will be for a while, but that's something to think about. And I need to have enough to get over there or wherever else I have to go if I'm going to keep doing the work. Not to mention, you know, you have to buy cameras and stuff like that every so often. It's work, it costs money. But that being said, so far, I haven't taken a cent. I'm not interested. I don't need it for my personal survival. I don't want it. What I'm trying to do, I'm absolutely blown away that someone who was interested and is still interested in trying to understand these events from a totally pragmatic point of view would be exposed to these events that I've been exposed to.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing to me that this should happen. And the fact that it has makes me think that it is my responsibility to document it as meticulously as I can and offer it to as many people as I can for their consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps it will fit with something else they know.
That's what I think is somewhat amusing but also great, is that this stuff is happening to you. Because
isn't it funny?
Most people are not that pragmatic, and even people who have incredible things happen to them, they're like, oh, wow, that was kind of neat. Sometimes they just don't get that excited about it. But knowing you and the way you do things, how it does, you do get very excited about it, because it's the phenomena you're studying. So you're just like, whoa, no way, you know, and then you're going and you're documenting this incredible stuff that, although I'm sure it's somewhat of a validation for you as well to know that there is something
out
there.
No, believe me, when you've had this happen in front of your face the way I have, you don't need the validation.
Right.
It only takes, I mean, that first time that I saw, you know, Robert's house, the lights, I mean, no way am I going to forget what I saw. That was,
mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of imprinted. Then I saw the tubes of light thing happen. I don't know. The documenting of it now is, it's more for so other people can know as much as I can tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their support, people like you and others who get it, who understand I am telling them the truth, the fact, every once in a while, I sit here and look at all this stuff I have, a lot of which is not yet out, and I think, God, have I lost my mind? And it helps me then that people like you are there who don't see any sign that I have lost my mind.
Mm-hmm. Not
because
yet.
It is mind-bending. Those hearts in part 5 of that UFO photos report, I still can't believe it. I sit there almost every night and just look at those things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it. How could that possibly be?
Yeah. Well, if you were to lose your mind, I like you too much to tell you. I probably would just stop inviting you to the show.
Okay.
So that would
be a sign.
That would be your sign.
I mean, it's very difficult in the world we live in. Where, I mean, first of all, you got all this wild technological stuff out there that some people know how to use.
Mm-hmm.
You've got also the terrible loss of trust or respect for any kind of authority for a very good reason.
Right.
I mean, all the CEOs lie, and the presidents of this and that, and the people in charge, everybody's lying, and God knows what they're doing. It's gotten to the point where none of us know. How in the heck do you trust anybody?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's awful. It really frightens me, the degree to which this is going on now. And I fully accept that people have trouble, could have trouble, do have trouble with the Robert material.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, it's true.
Well,
I don't know what it means. I'm not going to tell you it means what Robert says it means, because I don't know that he's right.
Well, do you feel like with these UFOs and with these apparitions, and do you think there's a, like in with the pictures where these UFOs show up, do you think those are actually UFOs? Do you think they're some sort of technological device that we can't see that come up in these photos?
I don't know. What I can tell you is that in all of those photos, including the ones with Dr. Roll, none of the objects, UFOs or whatever they are, were seen by any of us present, including Robert, except in one instance. I think it's in part 3. I know it's in part 3. The last two photos down at the end of part 3 are at the Zevenbergen Field in the afternoon, and one of those UFOs was seen by Peter van Leerhoven, who is one of the Dutch CCCA people, who is right there with us, and he saw the UFO just an instant before Robert actually took the picture, and he's the only one who, in all of the people who are present at all these different sites, saw anything with his eyes.
Wow, and that's a really strange, kind of almost Billy Meyer-looking type craft.
Tell me about it.
Right, that's weird.
So, you know, I don't know, and Robert and I, my impressions, Robert and I talk about our impressions all the time because he doesn't have answers. I mean, he doesn't know what the hell's going on a lot of the time. And I had this feeling that perhaps many of these images, particularly those incredible light ball UFOs, oh, they're so pretty, that they were icons, images being projected because, not so much because they represent an actual UFO, although they might very well represent an actual UFO, but more because now, particularly with the internet, so many people have gotten to the point where they accept the idea that UFOs of some kind do exist, and furthermore, they connect the idea, the concept UFO, with otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me, and to Robert also, that the fact that the images coming on the cameras he's using now are so frequently UFOs, where in the past they haven't been. But now they are. Maybe because the symbol UFO symbolizes to people otherworldly, and that may be the point.
Hmm.
Not so much the UFO thing. I mean, or not. I mean, it's just an idea.
So,
because
yeah.
I've seen so many other kinds of anomalies, you know?
So but at the end, all you can say is he's getting this weird stuff in these pictures, and he's not hoaxing them, so who knows what the heck is going on?
Well, I know that it goes along with an incredibly gentle, sweet, childlike in some ways, and not at all childlike in others, personality, that Robert is absolutely convinced that this is an external from him. He does not think it is his, well, how would he know if it's his unconscious or subconscious? He doesn't think it's coming from him. He thinks it's coming from outside him, and that he is being used as a medium, that it's being projected through him. For whatever purposes.
And
he believes that this is of a spiritual nature and a cosmic force. Now, that's what he says. He's the guy it's happening to. I figure you might as well listen to what he's saying. You don't have to believe it. But I think it might be wise to consider it.
And if he's right, that means you're part of this release or information.
That I figured out. That is true.
Wow.
I know that, and he knows that. We were talking yesterday, very peculiar to me that is so, but I can feel that it is so, for whatever grief that's going to get me for saying it, but I can feel it.
You know,
and he was telling me yesterday, you know, that he had this weird encounter while I was there with a landed UFO and a guy, and he was given a stone, and I'm in the process of getting this thing written up. And some experiments he's doing now with the stone, he's discovering that when he is holding it, what happens is that all the cell phones cut out. They don't work anymore.
Wow.
He puts it down on the table, cell phones work fine. Picks it up and holds it, and boom, everything goes out. There's an awful lot more that will be coming out about what's going on with him, and I just want people to be as informed as they can be about his background. So they've had time to think and evaluate all of this before stuff really starts to happen, because I have a feeling it's going to.
Well, that's a great place to end, because unfortunately we're out of time, and, you know, I thought we'd really be able to flesh out this case with the amount of time that we have, but there's just so much going on with it that we'll just have to have you back after you release a couple more reports, and then we'll have to have you back about crop circles of 2009. Who knows? Maybe by that time, 2010 season will be past as well. But thank you for being on the show again and answering these questions. I think it's great that you're open to answering the questions of the people who are criticizing
Are sincere in their questions, they can email me. That report of Crop Circle form comes right to me. Email me your questions if you're sincere, and I'll do my best to answer. If you're not, if you think I'm a liar, don't bother.
Right.
I mean, I got other things to do.
Then just argue. Some people like to argue. But remember, BLTResearch.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and we'll talk again. We are out of time, so thank you, everybody, for joining. Remember, it's BLTResearch.com. You can go to Open Minds Forum to talk some more about this subject. You can go to openminds.tv to keep up with the news and some more stories we're going to be writing. We have some great stories. We have a scoop on an Argentina blackout that possibly could be caused by UFOs, because thousands of people saw UFOs when this happened. So our reporter Antonio Huneos is going to be writing about that. So be sure to check us out. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome. Talk to you again.
Talk to you soon, everybody. Have a great week.